everybody, Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs once again every Friday night at this time. And tonight we're going to listen to a new album by Duck's Breath Mystery Theater. I have been unable, at least for now, to locate the cassettes, which I assumed were floating around the station, of all the Ask Dr. Science and the Ian Scholes things, but there's some wonderful things on their new record, which is on Rounder Records, and it's called Born to be Tiled. Duck's Breath Mystery Theater have been together longer than most marriages I know. They've been together since 1975, and they're now based in San Francisco. They tend to be from Iowa City. And they do things for All Things Considered. They do things for Morning Edition. They have a series on American Public Radio. And even Ian Scholes is apparently seen on Nightline. So they are a versatile bunch, and they're a lot of fun to see live. You can occasionally see them at my place, and I recommend that you do so. They have all sorts of products and tapes and things like that, and if you're interested, I'll give you my address at the end of the show. You can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll pass along one of their order forms to you, which will also put you on their mailing list. But we will get on with the comedy. We'll start off with an Ask Dr. Science piece by Duck's Breath Mystery Theater.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Here's a potpourri of easy answers to easy questions. First from Paul Saunders, who writes from the University of Alabama. Dear Dr. Science, I learned from your program that the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. What is the speed of dark?
Since dark is broken light, it doesn't have any speed at all. It just sort of sits around the house until we can find the switch.
Next from William Kane in Boulder, Colorado. Dear Dr. Science, are cyclotrons good for making popcorn?
No, but they make a great chocolate shake.
Laura Hansen from Iowa City writes, Dear Dr. Science, do you have to patent a cow before you can have patent leather?
Merely copywriting the cow is enough. Simply mail the cow to yourself in a self-addressed stamped envelope. When the cow arrives, don't open it. This is legally binding in most states.
Finally, from Kim, John, Minga, and Don from Swan Lake, Montana, how come I can't look at the sun without sneezing?
You're probably allergic to photons. Consult a physician or a physicist immediately, and let me know how you're doing. Dr. Science cares.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science. Mercy and justice cost money. Honor and love cost money. Murder and laundry cost money. Everything you want costs money. How you gonna know what you want when you want it? How you gonna know if you want what you get? You gotta be in debt if you wanna borrow money. You gotta have the money if you wanna go in debt. How you gonna know what you got when you got it? How you gonna know what you got? Money is enough. It ain't no poor man on relief.
I don't want a piece of that.
When the big spend, they call him a thief.
I don't want a piece of that.
You can keep your goddamn roulette wheel.
I don't want a piece of that.
Yeah, you can keep your goddamn cocaine deal.
I don't want
Dow Jones numbers on the TV screen.
I don't want a piece of that.
Or a piece of the strip in Abilene.
I don't want a piece of that.
No stocks and bonds and no Ginnie Mae.
I don't want a piece of that.
And no trickle down and no IRA.
I don't want a piece of that. I don't know what you got when you got it. I don't know what you got. Money is
I want the traffic. I don't want the trap. I want to park my pockets in luxury's lap. Want to pay cash money for a house in the hills. Set fire to your hair with a $100 bill. Hold the fate of the nations in the palm of my hand. The fact from the fat of the land, I want all the glamour that money can buy. I want to pull back the hammer and see you die.
I don't know what you got, what you got. I don't know what you got. Money is enough. Money is enough.
The root of all evil? Nah, it's not evil. If money was evil, would my mother send me checks? What are you saying to me? My mother's Hitler? If money is evil, why aren't terrorists bankers? Just keep it in the holster. If you point it, know how to use it. It can't buy you happiness. It can just buy a thrill. If you're gonna shoot that thing, pal, you better shoot to kill.
Money is enough.
Yeah. I'm an old folk singer, just an old folk singer. I'm an old folk singer, are you a folk singer too? My daddy bought my first guitar when I was just 13. It was a Sears Silvertone and all the strings turned green. Even then I wrote my songs about love and war and doom. Till Daddy threw my silver tone across the living room. I'm an old folk singer. I'm just an old folk singer. I'm an old folk singer. Are you a folk singer too? Ow! Yeah. I'll sing a song about human rights, about love and war and fear. I'll sing a song that lasts too long that no one wants to hear. About the highways and the gamblers, the singing of the rails, and a dog named Blue that I once knew had an infection near his tail. 'Cause I'm an old folk singer, I'm just an old folk singer. I sing folk songs, are you a folk singer too? When Dylan went electric, my whole world fell apart. But I'm still singing folk songs, these two chords are my art. Need no record contract, no million-dollar figure. Now, I'll keep singing folk songs in dirty little coffee houses where the waitresses all hate me and there's no free drinks policy. And the drunk in the corner wants your Mr. Bojangles for the 10 millionth time till they pry this old guitar from my cold, dead fingers. 'Cause I'm an old folk singer, I'm just an old folk singer. I sing folk songs, are you a folk singer too?
I am Jacques Cocteau. Welcome to my underwater world. I, with my companion Philco,
hello,
have searched the waters of the world, especially Central Canada, looking for things that you haven't already seen on Wild Kingdom. This was made possible when an anonymous donor, who wishes people don't know his name, gave us our ship, the HMS Bob Johnson Plumbing Contractors. And from her decks, we lower the mini-sub and dive into the unknown. Many times, people ask me questions like this.
How is it that you, a Canadian boy from the plains of Saskatchewan, become so in love with the sea?
That's a good question. When I was a child, we had no money for a bathtub. I grew up washing in the same little pan my mother used for to wash the dishes. I swore someday I would have enough water so I could stretch my feet out in it. This search for water has become my obsession. Another obsession of mine has been the search for sea monsters. Those slimy things that lick your legs and try to grab you when you swim in the old quarry at night. They can sometimes get over the back fence, go in your swimming pool, and the really long skinny ones that can come out the faucet and wait in your bathtub, for those of you that have bathtubs. Those monsters. That search for monsters has brought us here, to the pond behind Ed Crowley's barn. This pond had no name, so we christened it Bob Johnson Plumbing Contractors Pond, in honor of our ship. As Philco and I lower the mini-sub into the water, Tom Waits sings our anthem.
Hey, Bob Johnson, plumbing contractors. It sails on the water and searches the mud. They might find a fish or an old tubeless tire or Teamster Boss Huffam and his bodyguard Bud.
He has been our loyal minstrel since I pulled him out of that alley in Toronto and give him a cigarette he needed so desperately.
It sails on the water and searches the mud. Hey, before you close the catch, why don't you give me a cigarette there?
Here you go.
You got any unfiltered?
Close the hatch.
That's cool. I'll just tear it off.
We descend 1 foot, 2 feet, three, almost 3 feet. We are on the bottom. As we look out through the water, it looks like we are looking through a crystal. A dark brown crystal. Brown crystal with pieces of rotting leaf floating around in it. We see things few men have witnessed, like the underside of waterfowl, real close.
Remember when we see a turtle? I think it was a turtle. Something in the mud. Looked like one.
It, since ancient times, man has told tales of sea monsters. Sea serpents, the Leviathan, mermaids. But most of these tales have explanation. The mermaid was actually the manatee, or sea cow, a relative of the walrus. But when you see one of these graceful creatures glide through the water, you can see how the ancient mariners could think that she was a sea woman, if women weighed 800 pounds and had gray wrinkled skin and long whiskers, and you had been at sea for 3 months, stuffed below decks with a bunch of old sailors who never took a bath. What is that? Is that the monster attacking the mini-sub?
Ed Sr. says you gotta get out of the pond. The mini-sub's scaring his cows. They won't drink. You got a cigarette?
Oh, so you see, there was no sea monster at all. Only us. We scared the animals. Proof again that man is the biggest monster of them all.
Oh, yeah, you're a monster, Jock. You couldn't get me to go down on that thing. I'd get claustrophobic in a Datsun on the freeway. I went nuts in a payphone once and pushed out the glass of my forehead. That's how I got the scar on my nose. Aye, Bob Johnson, plumbing contractors.
And as we lift the mini-sub back onto the deck of our ship, the Bob Johnson Plumbing Contractors, another mystery has been solved. There is no monster in the Bob Johnson Plumbing Contractors pond. And once again, the water is safe for man and animal alike. Au revoir!
We leave an oil slick on the water.
I haven't seen water like that since I washed my hair.
It'll settle out. Allons-y!
Hey, Bob
Johnson Plumbing Contractors. God, I gotta cut down.
I don't know when it got serious. I don't think anybody does. At the beginning, the burger wars were just fun advertising campaigns, a way to sell a couple billion more french fries, cheeseburgers, or those crust-covered chicken chunks.
Rudy Toot Burgers is out to win the burger wars, and nobody's gonna stop us. You will come to our burger palace and eat. That's an order. Don't buy those bozo burgers, though. They're terrible.
Daddy, are those hamburger people really mad at each other?
No, son. They're just trying to sell their products.
In fact, all the other burgers suck.
He sounds really mad, Dad.
Suck a big
one. No, son, that's just good commercial acting.
You know what we do when we get a hold of some of those other bad burgers? We pulverize them. We mutilate them. We cremate them. You know what we do to their soft drinks? I don't know, but we hate them, and so should you.
I don't know, Dad. He sounds really mad.
Hate other burgers. Hate other burgers are bad.
And then all those mergers started happening in the late 80s and the early 90s. Why didn't somebody speak out?
Today's mergers. Texon World Energy acquired Every Kind of Transportation Incorporated, and Rudy Toot Burgers merged with Big Bang Munitions.
Page 3, for what it's worth, Department Modesto, California. The billboard read, "Bozo Burgers make me throw up." After their 2 a.m. shift, two Bozo Burger workers set fire to the billboard. Before anyone discovered the fire, it spread to the Bozo Burger, the Burgers Are Us, Fast Pop Chicken Stop, and Takeout Tacos. By morning, Modesto's entire fast food strip was gone. So don't get hungry driving through Modesto. All the hamburgers there are too well done. Good day!
A month later, over 1,000 fast food outlets were gone. We didn't know that this was serious.
This is the Channel 5 Weather News and Information Break. The sun came up today at 5:45, and Charlie's instant lunch steaks went down at 5:46. The state bird of Colorado is the lark bunting. This has been the Channel 5 News Weather and Information Break, and now back to our program.
A real war had started and nobody knew it. By the time we knew anything was happening, the bloated mega corporations had already commercialized most of the smaller nations.
The Rudy Toot Clown is here to visit you, sir.
Well, send him right in. Wait, is the recording tape running, Rosemary?
Of course it's running, sir.
Good. Well, hello. I am certainly excited to meet the Rudy Toot Clone. I hear this is a pleasure if you get to meet the original Rudy Toot Clone.
How do you do, Mr. Krab, sir? It's a pleasure to meet the president of a company that's the largest arms manufacturer in the world.
Well, thank you. How can I be of service to you?
You can stop destroying our stores. We know you own Bozo Burgers and are determined to destroy us.
I don't know what gave you that idea, Rudy. Me, I'm just a simple weapons manufacturer. But I do know that if you really wanted to destroy an organism, the best way is to eliminate the head. And you are the head, right, Rudy? So die, clone. Soon there'll be only one king of the burgers, me. Remember, burger is a German word. It means burger. Here, give me that crone, clone, before you get blood all over it.
I thought you would try something, Crap, and that's why I brought this.
After the first nuclear explosion, it was impossible to stem the tide of destruction.
We interrupt this program with a special news bulletin. A Pacific island owned by the Bozo Burger Corporation and home of their Deep Fat College, where all Bozo employees train, was destroyed by a nuclear explosion today. More
Rudy
on news
Toot Burgers
at 5
claim
on
victory
6.
In Europe today. A burger palace was established in Vienna, and all resistance east of Leningrad was crushed.
A spokesman for Bozo Burgers has claimed that its troops now have complete control of the Western Hemisphere. We interrupt this program with a special news bulletin. Pacific island owned by the Bozo Burger Corporation.
So why am I putting this tape together? When there's so few people left to listen to it? Because I know that someday the Earth will recover, and people will be happy and shopping again, and new malls will be built and new advertising campaigns begun, and then maybe somebody will find this tape and play it for a few of the creative directors of the major advertising agencies, and they'll talk their clients into backing off each other just a bit, and maybe then...
Hey, you there, you with the tape recorder.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
It's a burger warrior. I can't tell which side he's on.
You were recording something, huh? Hey, what's that you're reading there? Looks like a Bozo Burger wrapper.
No, it's a Rudy Toot wrapper. It was all crumbled up, so it just looks like...
Too bad, sport. I'm a chunky chicken commando.
Oh, no, but this sandwich has some chicken in it. At the top, it was a special combination hamburger chicken delight. It was really good. It was...
Nice tape recorder. Taping it, too. All right, I'll give it to my superiors. They can use it to record some more chicken chunk cha-chas for commercial distribution. Now, where's the rewind on this thing?
Dear Diary, tonight I saw something big in the backyard. It looks like a man with the head of a mole. As soon as I find my Fanner 50s, I'm going to go out and check this
Timmy?
Out.
Timmy, what are you doing up at this hour?
Oh, hi, Dad. I'm writing in my diary.
It must be something pretty important to have to write it down at 2:45 in the morning.
Yeah, it's about this giant mole I just saw in the backyard.
Oh, well, what about him?
Well, I'm going to go out and see him up close.
Well, son, that mole will still be there in the morning, won't it?
Yeah.
But until that time, mister, I'd say you'd better get some sleep.
Okay.
Maybe you and I can check out that mole together. After breakfast.
You mean before breakfast, don't you, Dad?
Okay, Timmy. Before breakfast.
I couldn't sleep, Frank. Boy, it sure is good of you to let me stay here till I find work. Not every brother would do it. Timmy couldn't sleep either, huh? Storm wake him up?
I guess. Kid must have had a nightmare. He keeps talking about a giant mole in the backyard.
That Timmy comes up with some pretty amazing stories. Didn't he see ball lightning last week?
Yeah, even got Bill Wilson to believe him. Wilson claimed he saw it, too.
Frank, where are you going?
I'll have to take a look at the backyard. Maybe there's some kind of animal out there, like a dog or something. I just want to make sure.
Dad, where are you?
Your father went outside to look around.
Oh, to look for the mole?
I don't know. Maybe just to check things out.
Oh, gee, I hope nothing happens to him. I'm going to look out the window, Uncle Bud. I see him. He's walking out there near the elm tree. Well, why doesn't he use the flashlight? There, he's found it. Dad, watch out, Dad!
Oh, where is he? I don't see anything.
He's gone. The mole took him underground.
Oh, hang in there, Timmy. He'll be back. You just wait and see. Oh, come on, Timmy. Here, eat more pancakes. Then we'll go into town. We'll file a missing persons report, and your dad will be back before... Oh, Frank, you are back.
Dad, I thought maybe the moles had got you.
You thought the moles had what?
I thought maybe the moles...
Oh, never mind.
I don't want to hear a lot of stupid talk about moles.
Well, sure.
I just want to have breakfast, if you don't mind.
Timmy was just saying...
I don't care what Timmy says or thinks. He's just a kid. A kid with a very active imagination.
Ow!
Now, am I going to get some breakfast here or not?
Sure, Frank, sure, but... Don't you think you ought to wash your hands before you eat?
Yeah, Dad, remember how you always said that germs and dirty hands...
Now, listen, you two.
Ow.
If I want to have dirty hands when I eat, that's my business.
Sure,
besides, dirt is beautiful. It's comforting.
Uh-huh.
It's natural.
Uh-huh.
Gentle.
Hey, Timmy, where are you going?
Just going outside to play.
That kid is going to have to be taught a lesson. Say, bud... What do you say I show you something really interesting?
Sure, Frank. What is it?
Can't tell you. I've got to show you.
Sure, after I finish these eggs. You like them sunny side up, right?
The eggs can wait.
Oh, sure, Frank. Ow.
Come on, bud.
Okay.
I've got to show you something.
Well, let me set down the frying pan.
Something you'll find very, very interesting.
Oh, hi, Timmy. What brings you over?
Well, Mr. Wilson, something terrible has happened to my dad.
Now, slow down, Timmy. Let's start from the top. You say something's happened to your father?
Yes, he's turned into a mole person. I saw this giant mole out in the backyard last night during the storm, and when Dad went out to check it, he turned into a mole, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's come home, but he's different. They changed him.
Who changed him?
I don't know. The moles, I guess. Mr. Wilson, you gotta do something. You just gotta.
Timmy, I think we better call my friend Dr. Science and see what he thinks, huh?
Okay. Oh, gee, Mr. Wilson, I'm really tired. You mind if I take a nap inside on your couch?
No, not at all, Timmy. There's a pitcher of lemonade and some cookies in there on the kitchen counter. Help yourself.
Sure. Where you going, Mr. Wilson?
I just want to check out something in the backyard.
Okay. Oh, good. There's the lemonade. And, oh, boy, Hydrox cookies. I wonder where Mrs. Wilson is. Probably shopping. Mr. Will? Oh, I'll get it. Hello, Mr. Wilson's residence.
Hello, is Bill Wilson there?
No, this is Timmy, his next-door neighbor. He just stepped out. Could I take a message?
Yes, if you would. This is Dr. Science.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him that these moles are either aliens from outer space or lawn pests. In either case, this problem can be solved with a conscientiously applied program of lawn hygiene and regular professional care. Bye, Timmy.
Mole people? Wait, Dr. Science! Oh, well. Okay, I'll tell him. Bye. Oh, boy, I sure need a nap. Didn't sleep much last night. Now I can rest.
Frank! Bud! Hello. Beautiful afternoon, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Mr. Wilson.
Boy, you fellas sure are dirty.
Uh-huh. Come with us. We have something we want to show you.
Remember that mole problem you were worried about?
Yep. I even called Dr. Science about it.
Well, you don't have to worry anymore. Come with us.
Yeah, come with us and learn something.
Well, I was kind of worried about those moles digging up my yard, too. I figured if one guy's got a problem with moles, then his neighbor has a problem, too.
Ow! Mr. Wilson! Mr. Wilson!
Yes, Timmy?
Mr. Wilson, your house is on fire!
Yes, Timmy, I know it is.
Come on, we gotta get out of here. Come on, Mr. Wilson, take my hand. Boy, your hands are dirty. Oh, no! You're one of them! They got you, too!
Yes, and soon we'll have everybody. Even you, Timmy.
Hi, is this the Institute for Advanced Research?
Well, Timmy, long time no see.
Dr. Science, I need your help. Dad, Uncle Bud, and now Mr. Wilson are all mole people.
Well, I heard that Mr. Wilson was having a problem with moles, and your father, too, but... You say they've turned into mole people?
Yes, sir. And if somebody doesn't stop them, they'll turn everybody into mole people. They act really weird. My dad was the friendliest guy in the world, and now he acts like...
Like a jerk.
Well, Timmy, I've known Frank for quite some time. I can't say I've ever seen him act that way.
Well, he does now, and so does Uncle Bud and Mr. Wilson. They all act the same, like jerks.
Timmy, if what you say is true, then we've got to do something. I want you to trust me. I have some pills here that I want you to take.
Well, what are they?
That's for me to know. I'm the one with the master's degree, and you're the one who's going to take these pills. We can't do anything to help your father unless you take them.
Okay, I'll do anything to help Dad. I'll take them. Oh, boy. More?
Good boy, good boy. Now, first of all, I want to assure you that we here at the Institute have everything under control. As soon as you wake up from your nap, we'll get a hold of my good friend, General Smith. He's the head of the Pentagon. He has a tank, and I think... How are you feeling now, Timmy?
Oh, a little sleepy. I didn't get much sleep last night. Tried to take a nap at Mr. Wilson's, but then the house caught on fire.
Right, these things happen. How do you feel now, Timmy?
Oh, real sleepy.
Good. Have a nice nap. Frank, Bud, Mr. Wilson, prepare the operating room. The boy is ready for his brain operation.
I don't want a brain operation. I don't want a brain operation.
Timmy, wake up.
I don't want...
Timmy.
Dad, get away from me.
Relax, Tim. You're only having a bad dream.
Huh? I was? Oh, but it all seems so real. Look, Dad, you washed your hands.
I did what?
Your hands were all dirty from digging with the moles. So were Uncle Bud's and Mr. Wilson's. Did they wash their hands, too?
That must have been some nightmare, young man. Now, you go back to sleep, son. In a few more hours, it'll be light.
And then we can go check out the backyard.
Sure, son. Whatever you say. Now, good night.
Night-night.
What was that all about?
Tim had a nightmare. Something about moles.
Well, at least he's not dreaming about women. Yet.
That'll come soon enough.
Well, guess I ought to climb up in the bunk, shut up, and get some sleep. You asleep, Frank? I was just going to tell you about the giant mole Bill Wilson and I ran across the other day. Must have been the size of a piano. He's teaching us his ways, Frank. Bill and I agree that his ways are best. We'll teach you too, Frank, and Timmy, and my ex-wife, and everyone, in due time.
And there you have it. That's our salute to Duck's Breath Mystery Theater. I've gotten hold of those people, and they're going to send me the tapes, and we'll have some more Duck's Breath stuff coming in the near future. But all of that is available on their new album called Born to be Tiled. Next week, we have an interview with Terry Jones of Monty Python. That's a lot of fun. And other than that, I don't know what to tell you. Other than that, if you're interested in Duck's Breath paraphernalia, and there is a great variety of it, you should write to me at Bob Claster, C-L-A-S-T-E-R, Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405, and send me a self-addressed stamped envelope and let me know that you want the Duck's Breath stuff, and I will Xerox their order form and send it on to you. And that's about it. So until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you, as ever, to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.